and the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. So, as I said earlier, I'm having to go off Becky's notes for today, as she's not able to be here. But both those readings, the Paul's reading to the Colossians, but also Luke's interpretation of Jesus being presented in the temple, are completely opposite, yet both challenging in their own way. If we read the letter to the Colossians in the context of Mother's Day, that would probably read as being something of a template to someone aspiring to be the perfect mother. The challenge would be for us to identify anyone who's got a perfect mother. I think if we were to look deep down, all of us would realize that at points we are all imperfect. Yet Paul says that we are God's holy and chosen ones, so we should dress ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Those are good qualities to be had in everyone. And although the reading from Luke is very short, it sits in chapter 2 within a very long chapter from that gospel, talking about the early life of Jesus. We start with his birth, we move on to Jesus being presented in the temple. Becky says it would be possibly what we might call a christening or dedication, but in Jewish tradition, it's actually the child is presented in the temple, dedicated to God. Then it moves on with a brief sentence about Jesus growing up, and then finishes in that chapter with every parent's worst nightmare, which is your child being lost. Luke doesn't mess around. He packs an awful lot about the child Jesus into that one chapter. But those verses that we look at today sit in the middle of the story, and we encounter Jesus being presented in the temple. And in that story, which we always tell at Candlemas at the beginning of February every year, we encounter two key figures. There is Simeon and there is Anna as well. Simeon has been in that temple for many years. He's been waiting. He's been praying that he might see the Messiah. And God answers Simeon's prayers. Simeon saw the child Messiah before he died. And Anna, the prophet, was also there. She too, like Simeon, had been there for many years since she'd been made a widow, but she'd been there being faithful in the temple, and she too looked upon this baby and was aware that Jesus was a very special child. And so Mary and Joseph were in awe and wonder at what Simeon and Anna were actually saying about Jesus. Here is this tiny baby in their arms. They're presenting him in the temple, doing what God has asked for of them. Simeon encounters them. He comes forward to give them a blessing. And he says these profound words to Mary about the child in her arms. And he says, "This child of yours is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel." Simeon's pointing to Jesus being a leader, a person who will guide others. But also, Simeon prophesies that Jesus will be a sign that many people will turn against. You think of the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of the day, who were completely opposed to Jesus' life, mission, and ministry. But in turning against him, the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. And then finally, the climax comes, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary goes away and ponders those thoughts in her hearts, and the sword is eventually revealed at the crucifixion when Mary encounters her son Jesus nailed to the cross. That is when the sword pierces her own hearts. So why do we read all this in the context of Mother's Day? It's often both a joyful day, but also for many of us, Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day can be a very difficult day as well. So what can we learn from that gospel passage? There's a message in each of the verses. First of all, God marvels. Then it goes on to talk about our own destiny. And then we're reminded also that pain is going to be a part of the journey as well. So Mary and Joseph in that temple are marveling at what Simeon is saying about Jesus. They're also marveling, I think, at Anna encountering Jesus as well. Imagine this woman who's been there in the temple for so many years, and she encounters the one that she's been waiting for. God's promise is revealed. I can imagine a massive, massive smile breaking forth on Anna's face as she realizes just how good God is, and that promise is finally revealed. And I think Mary and Joseph would have been rejoicing as well as they realize what a truly special gift God has given. And Mary and Joseph make a response as well to Simeon's prophecy over Jesus. Becky has been fostering for quite some time, and I've journeyed with her over the last, getting on for 7 years now since we met, so fostering is very much a part of what I do as well. And in the context of us looking after so many babies and children, we've never yet met a parent who hasn't thought that their particular baby was not amazing. We're always reminded how special every child is, and we're always reminded what a privilege it is to care for other people. And if we think about that in context of the relationship that we may have or have had with our own parents or those who cared for us, I'm pretty certain that everybody here has been marveled at over our birth. If you're a parent yourself, or if you care for others, you might remember those first moments of caring for new life. Now, take that thought, take that feeling, take that image of being loved, being admired, being treasured, as indeed we all are. Take that thought, try, if you can, and multiply that by 1,000. That would be a number that none of us could probably calculate. But God goes over and above that. The love of God is limitless. We cannot confine it to a number. We can't put any boundaries on God's love. God marvels over each one of us. And in the scriptures, Psalm 139 talks about God, how God knitted us together in our mother's womb. God's love hems us in. And the psalmist writes, "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me." And so it's saying it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter what stage of life we're at. It doesn't even matter whether we've known or not what it is to be loved or not be loved. Today is an opportunity just for us to stop. It's an opportunity for us to take stock. Today is a day to remember how God marvels at us. Take that image of Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna admiring and marveling at that tiny baby. Go outside of the boundaries and just imagine how God marvels at each one of us. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about change. Last week, we looked at opportunities for repentance and second chances. And the readings and the theme for today move on to that as we start to think about our own identity and how much each of us is treasured and loved. And verse 34 in that gospel reading talks about destiny. And Simeon says the child, he's talking about Jesus, is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. And the baby Jesus is to grow up, and he will be a sign that will be spoken against. Imagine if you're caring for somebody else, and you're being told that that child or that person that you're caring for would be the cause of the rising and falling of many nations. Not just people who would be opposed to that child, but whole nations, kingdoms, and civilizations as well. All of us have either hopes for our children, we've all got hopes for ourselves, we've even got hopes for other people as well. But what comes here is the word destined. Yes, this child was Jesus, but the Bible also says that each one of us is destined, each one of us has a destiny. Go back to the Old Testament and look in chapter 29 in the book of Jeremiah. God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. So what would be our destiny story? What about us? What would we think about the destiny of our children, our nieces, our nephews, people we care about? What would we think their destiny would grow up to be? Maybe we haven't had a word from God about that like Mary and Joseph did. But we are reminded that every child, every single person has a purpose. And quite often we spend our whole lives trying to work out for ourselves what that purpose is going to be. And in the context of that wondering and that asking, the love of our family, our friends, and our community comes into play as well. Human beings, I don't think, are necessarily destined to be alone. I think we all thrive in the company of other people. We're not called to be hermits, secluding ourselves from others. Most of us, at least, we're called to be in a community. And the values of a community are people who will support each other, people who will seek, people who will pray, people who will ask but also answer questions. But above all, a community, just like a family, whether it's a church or a family community, will also support one another. And as a church, that's what God is calling us to be. We're to be a community that seeks to love other people, but also support them as well. We support other people through our words, through our actions as well. We are here to support, just as any family would do. And finally, in the gospel, Mary is told about that sword, the sword that would pierce her heart, pierce her soul. And in that, we're reminded that pain is always going to be a part of the journey as well. Parenting, caring, however we look at it, those vocations are hard. Mary, in the end, had to watch her son die, which no parent should ever have to endure. John's Gospel says in chapter 19 that near the cross of Jesus, his mother was standing. Can you imagine, and perhaps some of us can, maybe you can imagine having to watch your children or your family members or somebody you're close to go through such an amount, huge amount of pain that it pierces your own heart. We feel pain because we love. As human beings, we love each other. And we endure that pain because we love so much. Again, take that image or that sense of pain and try and multiply that by 1,000. And again, it will be an impossible number that we could calculate or imagine. But still, that pain is just an image of the depth of love that God has for each of us. God is prepared to take that pain. Imagine the pain that God experiences, that God sees when we go off the beaten track, when we suffer. Imagine God's pain at having to watch us. Pain isn't nice, whether it's physical or it's emotional. But pain is always going to be a part of our journey, just as it was for Mary. But Mary was given one of the greatest privileges in human history. She was the bearer of Jesus. Yet, in all of that, Mary still had to go through one of the most painful experiences that any parent or carer could have to endure. Again, in John's Gospel in chapter 16, John writes, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, says Jesus, I have overcome the world." So, even if life is hard, even if Mother's Day is hard, even if we're experiencing pain, whether it's physical or emotional, maybe we can go back to the earlier points in the Gospel and be reminded of that God marvels, but also that each one of us is destined. God marvels, God delights, God wonders even at each of us as we wonder about other people. And each one of us is destined in some way as well. And maybe that destiny kind of frames our pain in a different kind of mindset. We know that life is not going to be easy. We know that life is hard. We know that at times we are always going to have to endure pain, just as we will enjoy joyfulness as well. Life isn't easy, but if we trust, if we allow God's word to flow through every aspect of our being, that can help us on our journey. And there are daily reminders all around us of how much God loves us and loves beyond us as well. We can leave those notes, we can leave those messages for each other. Just sometimes reminding one another how loved and how special each one of us is. Hold on to that promise that God marvels and God delights in each of us. God's marveling and delight helps to alleviate some of the pain. However much we care for one another, we will always endure pain. Yet, with the love of God permeating our lives and flowing through us, we are always called to be transformed. We are called to be people who love as God loves us. So today we celebrate love. We celebrate the love of God to us in creation. We celebrate the love that we have for one another. And we celebrate the destiny that each of us has in God to be people who will be transformed, people who will make a difference, people who will love as God intended for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.